Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and today, well, this is a show for all of you that have desires to go into business. You want to be an entrepreneur. You want to be your own person in business so you can pretty much do what you really feel like you should do. That's a dream that so many people have. Our guest today, Christine Klosser, is going to show us how that is possible, but a way of going about it so that you can enjoy freedom as you would like to experience it. Her book is called The Freedom Formula, How to Put Soul in Your Business and Money. Money in the bank. Boy, that's a big issue. Christine, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, John. I'm delighted to be here.
Christine, you have been a business coach. You've obviously done a lot of speaking. You've published your own material. And you have a real heart for those that want to be entrepreneurs because you're one yourself. Yet you feel that mixing spiritual understanding with good business practices, they go hand in hand. They're not mutually exclusive of each other. This is something that is your passion. This is what you do. And you've had your own television show, you are a columnist, you have been on a number of different programs and featured in a number of different publications. Tell us how you became involved with this wonderful world of entrepreneurship and its ups as well as its downs.
Well, it's a little bit of a long journey. We could take the whole time just talking about this question, which I promise I won't do. But in all honesty, I really feel like the core of my entrepreneurial journey began when I graduated college, and rather than going to get a job like everyone I went to school with was doing, instead, literally, over a pitcher of beer at the local college bar, I somehow enrolled two of my girlfriends to move with me 3,000 miles away from Providence, Rhode Island, out to sunny San Diego, California. And I think it was that initial sort of feeling that there's something different out there, even though I didn't know what it was, but it really set me on a path to really live life on my own terms, which brought me to being an entrepreneur where I started my first business in 91, have had a couple businesses, leading me to where I am today. And, you know, you talked about ups and downs. Well, I have definitely had my fair share of both, some really phenomenal successes, especially in the arena of this blending of spirit and business, and some really deep, dark, challenging times with a business that almost forced me into bankruptcy, another business. I was teaching yoga in Los Angeles, and I just couldn't make ends meet at my studio because my rent was ridiculously high in the area I was in. So I've been up against it numerous times, and I always come back to my spiritual understandings, what I know to be, what I, you know, personally believe to be true about the universe and how it works, and that we're really here to live to our fullest potential. So I just kept going and got to where I am today. Author of the book, I own my own publishing company, and I work with entrepreneurs throughout the world to help them embrace this new way of doing business.
I really liked a statement that you have right in your introduction is, no matter where you go or what you encounter, trust there is an order to everything, and everything you experience falls under that order, one way or another, including business. And I know there are some people that when they would hear those words, they go, oh, what a bunch of bunk. But I have never met a successful individual that hasn't gone through the ups and downs. And if they're wise, they've learned from the downs about what works for them, what doesn't work for them, because what may be absolutely spectacularly fabulous for one person is going to be totally, utterly, completely disastrous for someone else. So it's a very much, when you're an entrepreneur, you've got some rules of thumb you can follow, but you also have to have a real faith in yourself, don't you?
It's critical. It is absolutely critical because your mindset and what you think about who you are, what you're doing, the value of what you do, how you transform your clients' lives, that is a determining factor as to whether you're going to make it as an entrepreneur or not. It's what lies between your ears, what you're thinking about yourself. So you're absolutely right. It's a critical piece.
You also make a statement that the soul of your business is you. And
yes,
many times that has been stated in such a manner that whoever is the person that finds the business, that founds the business idea or concept. Let's take Colonel Sanders, for example. This man had a passion for chicken. Who would have imagined after the age of 65 he would have become a multimillionaire? That was the last thing anybody would have ever conceived, because at that age he's supposed to be funky, dunky, and ready to be in a rocking chair and not do much of anything else. But that isn't what happened with that one man. His whole business career that he had evolved through, including the failure of a restaurant, ended up being something that, a recipe for chicken. Look, it's still going today.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the soul of that business. And that is so important, I think, for people to understand. It really is important. What do you feel? What do you love? How do you want to do? Now, tell us about the four components of conscious business. Now, conscious business is obviously staying awake while you're doing it.
Yes, staying awake while you're doing it on every imaginable level, really being keenly aware of what's going on in the moment that you experience. You can have a really different perspective right in the moment of whatever's going on. And I tell you, Donna, you know, when I went to write this book and really pull together this material that really comes from the previous 8 years of my entrepreneurial journey brought me to writing that book, and I thought, I've really got to sort of define what I'm talking about, because it definitely is a new way of doing business. Thankfully, there's a lot more talk about it nowadays, just out there in the ether as people are really waking up to their business, truly as being part of their mission in the world, and a way that they can express and make change and make money as well.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went to write this book, obviously I couldn't go to Webster's Dictionary and find any definition out there of what this really meant. So I defined it for myself in this four-part criteria. The first component to being a conscious entrepreneur is having a business model that's really set up that makes money. And some people say, well, how can you claim to be a conscious entrepreneur and really up to making a difference in the world when, you know, your first component is about making money? Like, it's about saving the world. Well, the reason why I had to make this one first, because it's been my biggest challenge in the past with the businesses that I had. This is where I was willing to just sweep things under the rug in order to serve. And now those two businesses that I had don't exist anymore. So if you're serious about really being a conscious entrepreneur, the business has got to be making money so that you have the vehicle of your business to share your work in the world. So that's component number one. Now, the second key component to being a conscious entrepreneur is what I just mentioned, the other side of that coin, which is your business truly, absolutely must be set up to make a difference in the world. And for many entrepreneurs, it's obvious to them on the surface immediately the difference that they're making. Like, just last night, I was speaking for a group of women up in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and one of the women was struggling with this point. She said, well, you know, I sell promotional items. You know, I get names and websites stamped on pens and T-shirts for people. You know, I don't feel like I'm making a difference, but I want to be a conscious entrepreneur. So what I say to anyone who feels that disconnect from the true difference that they're making is to ask them to just look, you know, one, two, even three layers deep in terms of how their work has a ripple effect for the people that they're doing it for. And then what about them? And just as one example, I actually have a promotional pen right in front of me for my signature book publishing program called Get Your Book Done. And I know for a fact that there are people who have, in fact, gotten their books done because they got this pen and they went to the website and they found out more about how I could help them get published. So while the person who gave me this pen and did the promotional work for me on it, they might not immediately have an idea of the difference they make, but if they dug just one layer deep, they'd know that this pen was empowering me to make a difference in other people's lives by helping them get published. And then just think of the thousands of people who are being affected by the book that that person wrote as a result. So this is where you really need to dig deep and make sure that you feel that connection, because without feeling connected to the difference that you're making, it's going to be a real long, hard journey in your business.
That's very, very true. That's why many times those that really have a passion for what they do, maybe they're not making money for a while, but when the aha comes and those dollars start clinking in to the bank, they go, it was worth hanging in there for it.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a lot of stories of people who had something that they worked maybe many, many years on, and then all of a sudden there was that, and it's not all of a sudden really, because they had paid their dues and then some. They got the right place, the right time, everything just flows, and they were ready to move with it when it came.
It's like those people, you hear them referred to as, you know, people who took 10 years to have an overnight success.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I know of a fellow that's a multimillionaire, and he had to make his living by mowing lawns. There's nothing disgraceful about that, but he wasn't making very much money, but he was providing for his family while he was working on other things. And that ended up growing into a cleaning business where he's doing mega business for mega stores, and he's the best, absolutely the best. And nobody would think that that would bring very much money, but it did.
Yep, it absolutely does. So even, you know, even for someone like that, for them to just connect with the difference that they're making in terms of if they're going in and, say, cleaning an office building that then allows people to walk into that office building or that store and have that feeling of, you know, just gratitude and a really easy shopping experience or a really pleasant experience stepping into someone's office. No one likes to walk into a place that's, you know, dirty. Like, if you walked into a dirty office, would you want to do business with that person? Would you want to have your life changed by working with them?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. So dig a little bit deep, and the second component of making that connection. And I tell people oftentimes, and maybe you do this for yourself, Donna, because I'm sure you have a gazillion rave reviews, but to keep a brag file. And a brag file can be a folder on your computer, or it can be a physical folder that you have in your desk drawer. But that's where you put those cards and emails and little notes that people send you thanking you for what you're doing. And when you ever begin to doubt yourself, just go into that brag file and read through what people have to say. I know for me, like if I ever need a little fix, you know, I'll pick me up for some reason, I'll go into my Amazon review page, and I'll just read the Amazon reviews on my books, and I'll be like, okay, now I know why I'm doing this, and no matter what I might be facing as I grow and evolve and, you know, work to reach mm-hmm. more people and just be bigger, that helps keep me going. So that's the second component.
I agree, because there's no one that's not going to have a down moment. Now, here is an issue that I have had to deal with. I'm great with to-do lists. And in your book, you say shorten your to-do list and lengthen your to-be list. Talk about that for a few moments.
Well, it's interesting. This really ties into the third component, because the third component that I talk about is that your business has to really be a way for you to be fully expressed in the world. Because when you step into your beingness, like not hiding any part of yourself, allowing yourself to really be authentic and just be you in what you're doing, there's so much power in that. That's where you naturally just eliminate anything that could be, you know, construed as competition, because no one can duplicate you. Like, you're the only you there is. So when you can sort of allow yourself to use the opportunities and experiences that you have in your life to discover more of who you are and allow that to be expressed through your business, it is one of the key factors for your success, that beingness, just being willing to be who you are, not who you think you should be or who society thinks you should be or family or friends or, you know, the whole of the people around you think you should be, right? I think there are still people in my family that think I should go get a job. I've been on my own since 91. It's not going to happen. I'm going to do my own thing and, you know, pave my own path. And that's part of what it takes to really be successful in a conscious business, is to let that business be your fullest expression for who you really are.
Filtering tasks is a big challenge.
Yes, absolutely.
I think with so many people, I find it more with women. And I could be wrong. I'm sure there's guys out there that have a gazillion things on their list, but I think of the difference between my husband and me. My goodness, my husband will say, I got this to do, that's it. And I'll go, oh no, we got this, we got this, we got this, we got this. I was sharing that with a friend today. I said, my husband has this wonderful way of being able to just totally focus in on something and exclude everything else. I can do that, but I'm also subtly aware that I've got a whole bunch of other things that are on the to-do list as well. Filtering out is a real challenge.
Huge challenge.
So how do you do it?
Oh, it's kind of fun the way that I do it is, and I do talk about this in the book, where I help people really identify what those things are, like all of those things that are on your list, because, as you just said, we all have huge, long lists of things that we think we ought to be doing, things that we do need to do, things we think are important, what have you. And I sort of run them through like a four-part analysis. So the first thing you want to do in this process is you want to go through everything that you're doing and just write it down on one big, huge, long laundry list, basically. Just get it all out there, get it all down. And then what you want to do is you want to take time to go through that list and really analyze and take a look at what it is that you can do later, what it is that you can delegate, that you can give away, what it is that's just not worth doing at all, because we all have those things on our lists that just aren't really worth our time doing. And then the really fun part is to go through that list and identify those things that truly light you up, because there are things that you're doing, maybe not as frequently as others, but there are definitely things that you are doing or have done that absolutely light you up, and that's where you want to be putting your focus. As a conscious entrepreneur, you know, delay, delegate, or just don't do some of those things that really aren't calling to your soul, and focus on those things on that list that resonate with you, that really feel like where you're making your largest contribution. And when you lead from that perspective, how do I make a difference? Where am I most passionate? Where am I experiencing the most joy? That elevates you to sort of an energetic level that just helps things flow so much easier in your business, in your life, and everything you do. So definitely write down all the things you do and then sort them according to those categories and focus on the things that light you up.
You say you need to embrace both aspects of your business, which is the spiritual side, the practical side. But you say no matter how connected you are to the source, no matter how much you meditate, pray, visualize, and intend, if your goals and dreams are not connected to the real world and the market you feel that you should serve, then there's no vehicle for your gift, your divine gift, to be received, and vice versa. Now, that needs some clarity, because many times people will walk around and they're in a daydream world without realizing the real world. It's like if you want to go become a butcher, you're going to have to learn about the cuts of meat. You just can't look at the cow and say, oh, isn't that nice? Or, or, you know, a chicken or a goat and say, oh, that's nice, I'm going to be a butcher. No, you have to understand that that's something that there will be a particular process, there are different cuts, and blah, 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 so on and so forth, sanitation, all kinds of things. So let's address that a bit, because fantasy is fantasy, and we all have them. But the real world demands that you pay attention. How do you connect with the real world?
Well, how I connect the real world, it's interesting, because there certainly are people out there who, you know, would just sit on a mountaintop and meditate and really think that $1 million might drop out of the sky somehow. Because you see, we see these people sort of walking around just in this sort of, you know, very spiritual world, somewhat detached from this physical reality that really, you know, makes the world go round on many levels. And what I really encourage people to do is to look at, okay, if they're really connected and, wow, they really want to make a difference, they need to drill it down and look in their life and really see, who is it they want to touch? How can I make a difference? What actions do I need to be taking? Because, you know, one of my favorite lines is, you know, pray and move your feet. You've got to be working at it from both angles, strategic action on the physical plane and really integrated spiritual action on the invisible plane. And when those two things are integrated, that's where the business can really, you know, leapfrog very quickly into newer and, you know, bigger levels of success. But if people are just hanging out, like you say, in the fantasy, it's got to be drilled down so that you are taking practical, strategic actions every single day so that you are creating the receiving vehicle. Because you can put all this energy out there as to what you really want, but if you're not set up in a way in your business very practically to receive those gifts that you are envisioning, you know, manifesting, intending to happen, then those gifts don't have a way to come to you. So you've got to give a physical route, really, for the gifts to come to you, because they do and they will, and it happens over and over and over again. And I don't know why I continue to be surprised when it happens, but it continues happening, and I should stop being surprised when I see these manifestations come in on the physical plane, because I've done the work on the physical level to be able to receive all that I'm working on the invisible level in my, you know, spiritual practices and my visioning and everything that I do. So absolutely, Donna, I mean, people really need to get serious about this, taking the time to implement in the physical world. And I like to get people started with a sticky note business plan. I don't know if we have time to talk about that, but that's one of my favorite strategies that I do talk about in the book to get people into action, organized action.
All right, before we go there, because that's a very good thought, and let's put that to the side for just a moment. Value of time. This was an issue that you bring out in your book. Many times people say, I just don't know what I should charge. I was talking with a young woman who had not invested very much time in her education. She was very good at what she did, and she wanted to be considered a consultant. And I mentioned this to someone that I know, and they said, well, I know this young lady. She's very talented, but she can't really market herself as a consultant because she doesn't have any real credentials. And I thought, okay, that's a very interesting perspective. And they said, I've interacted with her, and she's just not going to get what she thinks she deserves. So here is someone that has a concept, a young woman that has an idea of how she values herself. Someone else on the outside giving their opinion, saying, no, she's not entitled to it. And yet, maybe in the right situation, somebody else would feel she's valuable. How do you go about determining your value of your time?
Well, it's interesting. There's actually a formula that I think I even talk about in the book with a gentleman named Dan Kennedy, who anyone who's serious about marketing probably has an idea of who Dan Kennedy is. So what Dan tells you to do is to calculate, to figure out what your hour is worth very practically. And what he says is that what you need to do is go through and actually determine how many true, like, income-generating hours you want to work in your business. Because let's face it, I mean, there's a lot of things that we do in our business that aren't income generating. It's, you know, admin stuff. And he tells you first to analyze how many hours a week, which translates to, you know, how many hours in a year, do you really, you know, want to focus on income generating activities. And what you do is you determine how much you want to make in a year, and then you divide it by those number of active, you know, income-generating hours, like real working hours, not just handling email, doing anything administrative, none of that stuff, just income generation. So you divide your dream income by those number of hours, and that determines what the hourly rate really ought to be. Now, there's a lot of people out there who, like for me, I mean, when I first did this calculation, it was a lot higher than I had been charging. So it was a little shocking to me, but when I began to connect with the value that I offered people, I mean, someone could spend a half hour talking with me and, honest to goodness, get an idea that, I mean, one of my clients within 30 days, like, added $15,000 to his revenue from a 15-minute conversation that we had while I was in the parking lot, driving somewhere, talking to a client. I had to stop and finish my conversation with them, sort of one of those emergency coaching calls, if you will. And so it's an interesting determination here, because you can determine exactly what your hour is worth, but then you also need to make sure it's connected to the value that you're providing. And if that, you know, what I would say to that woman is, if she's really clear on the value that she gives, she knows that she makes a difference to people, she, you know, I would encourage her to hold strong in what she feels her value is, because there are people out there. I mean, there are some people who pay coaches like $1 million a year to keep them on track. So what she thinks she's worth, she ought to hold strong to and keep that belief and conviction in her mind that that is what she's worth, because she knows the type of work she does, and is allow herself to be open to attracting those types of clients, because they're out there. Typically, people undercharge. Typically, they undercharge. So it's good that she's setting a higher price and really willing to go for it. But, you know, if you just want to have an exercise with it, determine the total number of hours you want to work, and then, you know, divide the income that you want to make by those income-generating hours, and it'll give you a good place to get started.
Very good. Let's talk about that business plan, the sticky business plan, sticky note business plan.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. This is one of the things that people comment on most about this book. They love the sticky note business plan, because many creative entrepreneurs, I know for myself, the thought of actually sitting down and writing a full-on business plan, as if I was going to go out and, you know, look for financing from a bank, I couldn't do it. Every time I thought about it, it's like, oh my gosh, I can't do this. So I decided I would just make it fun. And the way that I made it fun, I've always been a list person. I have my, you know, multicolored sticky notes here on my desk, and they're posted up all over my walls. I thought, well, what if I actually developed a way to use these sticky notes to create my plan? It would be fun, it would be visual, and it would work. So what I teach people in the book is to create what I call that sticky note business plan. And there are a bunch of different supplies that you'll need for that plan. You need to have sticky notes, obviously. You want to have a big Sharpie pen, a regular pen, some big poster boards. And what you do first is you just sit down and you take your pad of sticky notes, and on every single sticky note, you just download all of those ideas, all of those things on your to-do list. Just put them all on a different colored sticky notes. Don't edit the ideas, just download them. Now, you're going to end up with a stack of maybe, you know, who knows, depending upon how many projects you have going on, 20 sticky notes, 50 sticky notes, 100 sticky notes. It just depends. And what you want to do is you want to look at all those, you know, key areas that you're focusing on, and then take the sticky notes and place them on the poster board that represents a key area. Like if you're developing a product, all your sticky notes for that product would go there. If you're introducing a new service, all your sticky notes for your new service would go there. If you're developing a new website, all your new sticky notes would go on that website poster board. And on it goes. And I suggest people start with maybe 5 or 6 different categories. So as you're organizing these ideas, you're just putting them up on in those different categories, literally just sticking them on the sheets of paper. And then once you're done with that, you kind of step back and take a look at all those ideas, and then just physically rearrange the sticky notes on that big poster board in order of priority and importance for you to do. So you now have a visual of, you know, 4, 5, 6 different projects, all these different things you need to be doing, and then they're prioritized. And once you're done with that, you go back and you look at the whole plan. You say, well, this thing really isn't quite as important, I should move it over here, or this task is actually a little more connected with this other thing I'm doing over here, until you really tweak it and get it just right. And that's why it's so wonderful to work off those sticky notes, because you can just pick them up and move them around however you need. And the fun thing about this is as you move through the plan and as you start accomplishing the things that you've put on there, you just take that little sticky note off the board, and it's so wonderful to literally watch your progress as you look at your sticky note business plan and you start removing things with all that you accomplished. It physically, visually shows you how much progress you're making, and it's really a motivator to keep going.
The Freedom Formula, Christine Klosser is my guest. Christine, I know you've got a number of websites in your book, but let's give the primary one where people can explore if they, as an entrepreneur, are wanting to step into the experience of being their own boss. If they'd like to have some assistance, help, you've got some wonderful, wonderful items on your site. Which one would you recommend?
Well, the first and foremost place that I would tell people to go is to my main website, which is loveyourlife.com, all spelled out, loveyourlife.com. And there what you'll see is I have something called a Conscious Business Success Kit. And there are several different components to that, including a special report on how to avoid the three massive mistakes made by most conscious entrepreneurs. Also, an audio that I have on the book publishing aspect of, you know, seven things every entrepreneurial author needs to know before writing a word. Plus a 30-day free trial in my Conscious Business Circle, which is like a private coaching membership that I have, and a free subscription to my award-winning Conscious Business Connection e-zine. And it's all available absolutely for free at loveyourlife.com. And once you make that request, you'll get into my site, and you'll be able to see the Freedom Formula, some exciting events I have coming up, and all my products and services and success stories.
Christine Kloser, that's K-L-O-S-E-R is her name. Go to loveyourlife.com. She's got some wonderful, wonderful material there. Christine, it's been a delight having you as a guest. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, and thank you.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Don't go away. We're coming right back with some fun and interesting stuff, so you're not going to want to miss it. We'll be right back.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's seven secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. Four out of the last eight Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are now open. You're more than welcome to call in and chat with me if you so desire. Here are the toll-free numbers for you to call in to. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, we have a direct line of 530-876-3222. So those are three open telephone lines. Give me a buzz if you would like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Quick like a bunny, I want to let you know about those people that are going to be coming up this week. We have tomorrow the Book of the Bizarre. It's Halloween week, for heaven's sake. This is fun. I just love doing it. Varla Ventura has put together some fascinating bits of trivia, bizarre things that go on in life. And then the day after, one energetic revolution, or evolution, I should say, in healing. Cynthia O'Neill is going to be my guest, some fascinating topics. And then on Halloween, yes, the 31st, Friday is Halloween, so So we are going to be having an open mic, and I've got a surprise guest for you, which I think, in fact, I know you're just going to enjoy it tremendously. So anyway, that's the lineup for this week, and bingo, before we know it, we're going to be in a new month with all kinds of new guests. And that posting for the guests will be coming up shortly, both in my newsletter as well as on bbsradio.com. So keep looking for it because it will be there. Also, I wanted to let those of you in Western Washington know that I am going to be holding a meeting. You hear the ad run about glyconutrients. Well, I'm going to be holding a meeting on that, talking about a number of people I've had the wonderful opportunity of interacting with, and we're going to be talking about wellness. So if you'd like information on this meeting, there will be a publication in my newsletter. It's going to be on Friday, November the 7th. Just call my office, and I will be happy to give you the details and the information. So if you want to attend, want to be a part of it, it's free. It's information and education, and I'm delighted to finally have the opportunity to do it. I've had such a busy schedule, I wasn't able to do it before, so at least for the past few months. So now I am not on the road, at least at the moment, and so this is an opportunity for me to share it with you. By the way, I want to let you know, check out Teresa Tapp's site. Teresa, and that's ttapp.com. I know you hear the commentary about her wonderful, wonderful exercise regimen, but I'm here to tell you it makes such a difference to you physically, mentally. It is absolutely marvelous. You will see results. You'll feel better in your clothes, but more than that, it's part of a package for wellness that becomes a part of your life, and you just integrate it in, and you don't have to really work hard at it. So be sure you go to her website and check out all of the wonderful promotional opportunities she's bringing up. The holiday season is coming. You might want to gift this to someone that just feels like they have to work so hard to get to where they want to go, and this really does work, and I encourage you to go to her site. Okay, give me a buzz if you want, 877-876-5227. Remember, I'm an information resource, and I'm here, and it doesn't cost you a penny, 888-CANADIANS, 815-9756, also 530-876-3222. Are you out shopping for a place? Well, tough times are existing for a lot of people. At the same time, when you're out shopping for a home, you need to be aware you might be in a very good negotiating positioning. I can think of many times in the past where markets, whether they were in this country or another country, they would just seemingly go into the toilet, and so many people were so frustrated, they got so frightened. Well, the best way to combat fear is to become educated about options. And many times, if you are a person that's wanting to buy a home and you really have worked and saved very hard to be able to do it, you may be able to get exactly what you want. I know, because it happened to my husband and myself. So how about if you want to negotiate? Maybe that you want, you so desire, is way out of your price range. You know, lots of times people, especially when there are circumstances where they need to move or they're having some problems financially, there should be just any number of things that can go on. They will be willing to negotiate on the prices. And so when you know when and how to ask, by golly, you probably can end up getting what you really want. Now, it doesn't mean you go in and you're rude and you're pushy and arrogant. That's not it at all. You want to be able to negotiate. So according to a study that was done on home sales in California, Virginia, and Washington State, according to the study, your chances of hearing a yes to a big discount, and that discount could be $20,000, maybe more, and there's 3 points here, it's 83% greater when the home is listed for 90 days or more. That's right. People often get very anxious. 73% greater if it's a fixer-upper, and 52% greater if it's been owned by one family for 20 years or longer. You just never know. We were able, and I'll tell you how, we were able to get our home, which we've been in for a number of years. We were able to buy our home from a builder who had this house for over 3 years vacant because the market was the pits in the state of Washington. Builders were going bankrupt right and left, and the gentleman had 12 homes he just couldn't sell. Nobody would buy them. The prices on them were considered high, but worse than that, the interest rate was like 18 to 20%. Nobody wanted to take out a home loan for that. They just didn't want to do that. So when we got in, we got a lease with an option to buy. And that enabled us, with his support, it was his idea. He wanted the home occupied. And as it turned out, we ended up being the only home that he did not lose. But he worked with us, and he carried the note on it, a lease with an option to buy. All of the monthly payments that we gave went directly into the down payment on the house. So we were able to have the 20% down that was required for us to move, and yet we moved into our home, but we also were able to purchase our home because of that. And it really helped him tremendously because of the difficult times he was in. So just remember, you never know where your good is going to come from. But lots of times, it's just as important to know how to ask the right questions, too, and to be open and receptive to different ideas and different concepts. It worked for us. Who knows? It might work for you. So when you're listening to the news and you're hearing all the doom and gloom, switch the channel. Realize it's good to know about things that are not necessarily working positively in certain ways. But it also is a positioning that you can put yourself in and say, ah, what can I be aware of if I'm really looking for something? How can I attract to myself the right opportunity, the right situation that is going to enable me to have what I really desire? It just is amazing how the universe can work. Also, I wanted to make you aware of some information I just came across today. And I just thought I'd pass it on to you. I haven't gone into deep research on it, but there are sources, apparently, that you can go to if you want to find out if anybody's got a criminal background. Now, this may sound a little odd, but lots of times in today's world, we are not allowed to ask about someone's criminal record. So here is a site that I've just learned of, and you're welcome to use the resource yourself. If you want to do free site criminal searches, go to criminalsearches.com and type in the name of the individual, anyone that you want to see might have a record. And if they have committed a crime that's in the public records, it will show up. Of course, they have to have the right name, but it will give you something to work with. And that is just a little bit of trivia that I thought you might enjoy. This is Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Telephone number is 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756, or 530-876-3222. Don't forget, all I need from you is your first name or initial, and then after that, I'll give you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. Halloween, it is coming up. Maybe you've got everything ready for those kids of yours, but if you don't, and you're wanting to find something really, really fast, and you want to be able to do something cute for a kid's costume, or maybe for yourself, all you have to do is go invite, just find out about costume swap parties. Yeah. Often, there is a listing at a website called meetup.com. meetup.com. You can search under mom's groups, or you can check, you know, at your school. But lots of times, people have all kinds of stuff. They just, their kids have outgrown, they don't want it anymore, and maybe you could use it. So check that out. But also check at your local craft stores. There are all kinds of fabulous ideas, very inexpensive, and it's safe for the kids to wear. You know, when you have them out at night, you want to be sure that they're able to see. And also they should be accompanied by an adult, in my opinion anyway. And it's just a good idea, especially if you have little ones. They love to wear their costumes. They love to get dressed up. It's so much fun to go trick-or-treating. However, one of the things that they've discovered, this is another little tidbit, is don't worry about buying plastic pumpkins. There's a green trend this Halloween. They want to encourage people to use the eco-friendly reusable candy bags like your totes and your pillowcases. Heavens, that was around when I was a little girl. You did that when I was growing up. By the way, they end up holding a lot more stuff, too. But the serious thing is, you don't need to go out and buy a special container for them to carry. You can improvise. Lots of kids, when I was growing up, we just used paper bags. We'd come up with all kinds of innovative things. Maybe it was a hat we'd use or something. It's just all kinds of ideas. It's fun to give the kids the opportunity to make up something that they will take around. Also, if you find that you're having a lot of wrappers after Halloween parties, well, there is a wrapper brigade, a brigade. I thought I'd heard about everything, but this is a new one. It can be found at terracycle.net, terracycle.net. You send in the wrappers for free, and the program will donate up to 5 cents for each of the wrappers to a school or charity of your choice. And the discards gets transformed into tote bags, bulletin boards, and even plant foods. Boy, this recycling is really catching on. And, of course, we all know you buy candy in bulk, right? Yeah, that's what we do. This is Donna Sebo. We are taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away. More fun things to share. We'll be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. We were talking about money earlier in the hour and being an entrepreneur and making business work. Well, do you know how the happiest people spend their money? What do you think would make you smile the most? Four choices. A, splurging on new clothes, furniture, or electronics. B, snagging major discounts on sales items. C, saving your money and putting it all in the bank. Or D, going out to dinner and a concert. What do you think? What would make you happiest, make you smile the most? Well, according to the Empire State College in New York, that they did a study, the happiest people usually will say going out to dinner and a concert. Apparently, people who spend money on experiences like classes, restaurants, live entertainment, hiking, you know, being and doing, they feel all very, very much happier, and they live apparently longer and enjoy life more than those who just are out buying things or, you know, looking at bargains or stashing money in the bank. And the study said that the good feelings that people get from purchases tend to fade over time, while memories of good times last and last. Isn't it amazing how our mind, our attitudes have such an influence on how we feel about life? I was chatting with a lady this past weekend, and she is in her senior years, and she has arthritis in her hands and in other parts of her body. And her daughter was talking with me, and she said, you know, my mother is just absolutely amazing. She has this discomfort with arthritis, And I asked her one day how it was that she had such a good attitude. She said, my mother just very rarely is down. She seems to always have a smile on her face and has this wonderful choice. And she said, my mom looked at me and just smiled and said, you know, dear, I am in my senior years. I don't like having arthritis, and it is very uncomfortable, and at times it can be incapacitating, and it frustrates me no end. However, I realize that I have a choice when I wake up in the morning. I'm either going to expect a good day and look forward to a good day, or I can just stay in bed and be miserable. And she said, I'd much rather look forward to the day that I have and know that I can enjoy it to the greatest of my capacity. So she said, I choose my feelings, I choose my attitudes, and I choose to be happy right where I am, right with whatever I'm doing, with whatever I'm involved with at the moment. I thought that was just terrific. And her daughter said, she is such an inspiration to me, my mom is. She really makes a difference in my life. You'll hear me say frequently on the show how a person, one person, makes a difference. Our guest, Christine, made that comment when I was chatting with her today. And the story I'm going to share with you about a woman, her name is Anita, and what she went through, her life was strongly influenced by a particular person as well. Anita found, and she lives in Texas, that she was having a lot of problems with bruising. She'd bump herself, she bruised very, very badly. Well, her husband became quite concerned and insisted that she go see the doctor. He said, you're bruising far too much, and there's really nothing. He said, this just shouldn't be happening to you. So she went in for some tests, and neither Anita or her husband expected the results that were given. She was diagnosed with aplastic anemia. Now, this is a very rare condition. It is chronic. And what happens, the body stops producing enough blood cells. Now, with Anita, her platelets were not producing. Without those, the blood isn't going to clot. Well, she just was devastated with it. If she nicked herself, she possibly could bleed to death. I mean, there's just all kinds of things that ran through her head. And she thought, I can't live like this. I can't live in fear. I feel like I'm just all closed off from reality. So she just told her family, I'm going to be just fine. I'll be thoughtful about what I'll do. And that went on for about 9 years. Well, her platelet level kept dropping. The normal level is about 150,000 to 450,000. Anita's was 30. That's right, 30. That's all. Well, she was transferred to a hospital when this was found out. She had to go in for blood transfusions, but her body wasn't responding very well. And she knew that she was really in a very vulnerable spot. Well, they were surprised after one serious episode that she had with a nosebleed, after she was treated for that her platelets started to decline. And she didn't know why that was happening, but she was very grateful for it. Well, after she got home from the hospital, there was a package that arrived. And inside the package was a book, and it was covered with ribbon. And when she untied the ribbon, she found a note from a very dear friend that said, here are the first of your mandalas. You'll be receiving them from all over the country. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with a mandala, that is a circle with an intricate design, and it symbolizes wholeness. And in many cultures, it's a very sacred, sacred patterning, and people will often draw their own. Well, her good friend had asked mutual friends to start drawing mandalas for Anita. And she was just overwhelmed by them because she'd get them in the mail and it just meant so much to her. Now, Anita herself had been an art therapist, and she said no one, she'd always done a lot of art therapy for others, but no one had ever made a mandala for her, and she'd never made one for herself. But she decided she was going to start doing it. Now, what she did, she drew a circle about 4 inches in diameter, and in the middle of that circle, she drew a fiber. And she said, this is for energy. And she said it struck her that maybe because she was focusing so deeply on making her mandala, that she really was starting to experience peace. So this was her meditation form every single day. And she'd choose a word like grace or love, focus on that, and then do her drawing. And she was coming back physically at an amazing rate. The doctor didn't know what it was. He said, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. Now today, she still is doing her mandalas, and she said, they work miracles for me just when I needed it most. They brought peace and calm into my life, and today my life is rich and full, and she continues to do them. This is Donna Sebo. There's all kinds of things we can do for ourselves, and I don't know what might work for you to make your life more peaceful and fulfilling, but remember, never stop looking, never stop exploring. Always keep an open mind and an open attitude. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. Talk with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.